Whether it's San Bernardino or Las Vegas, we find heroes emerge during times of tragedy, and heroes are born or made, nature or nurture. Zeno Franco studies the psychology of heroics. He's an assistant professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Celeste spoke to him earlier this year. Franco began discussing whether we are designed to be heroes.
One of the things when we first started looking at this from a kind of a research lens, what makes people act heroically, we heard time and time again people just say, well, I did something heroic because I needed to, I had to. It was the thing that I needed to do to fulfill my role. And we just kind of felt like, well, they're kind of being overly humble in some way. As we've thought more and more about it, I think one of the things we've recognized is that oftentimes heroes are really just in that moment taking the next right action. And they're not thinking about, am I going to be a hero? Am I doing something that's going to be recognized by my community as something, you know, super important? They just do the next right thing. And so that's one of the things that I certainly hear there.
So let me play you a couple clips, because we actually went out and talked to people in Atlanta about what being a hero means. The first one, he's talking more about an everyday hero.
My name is Terrell Benbury. I live in East Atlanta. Have I done anything heroic? Done a lot of things heroic. Taking care of my son on my own. Can't give up. That's your bloodline. I mean, you know what I mean? If he eat before I eat, then I had a happy day, then that makes me a hero that day, you know what I mean? Because as long as he eat, then I'm good.
That's one definition, and here's another one.
Mary Ann McFarlane. I live in Conyers, Georgia, and I'm retired, a retired school teacher. A hero would be somebody that does something extraordinary that most people would not do to help other people.
And that's different than your sort of everyday hero, right? One is an extraordinary act that, say, 90% of the population would not do. One is being strong and resilient in the face of sort of life's challenges. So which definition do you use for research?
So I think we're looking at all aspects of it. I think one of the things that happened initially in this work is sort of thinking about heroes as what we call a heroic elect, that there can only be a very few number of people that sort of meet this high bar for taking risks and responding effectively in a crisis situation. The reality is that probably everyone can act heroically, maybe not every single person, but almost every person can do something that is heroic in some degree in their life. And we actually have some research evidence for that too. So there was a large national random sample study that was done by one of my mentors, Dr. Phil Zimbardo, and a team that he works with in California. And they found that actually 20 to 25% of random sample taken, people say, you know, yes, I have done something heroic in my past. And what's interesting about that too is that it often we found that minorities were folks that were reporting that they had to act heroically more often, maybe because they were in some complex situations in an urban environment or whatever. So, you know, we think that more people than not encounter situations where they can act heroically. Some people maybe are afraid to, but it's really something that's available to all of us.
But what about that moment? How many people, when they make that decision, know that their life might be on the line? And I ask that because I bet the situation in which intervening to stop someone from harassing a couple young women in most cases would not end up costing someone their life, right? I mean, you don't know that when you intervene.
You don't all the way. You may not know what the outcome is, but I think a lot of, I mean, when you're encountering somebody, you know, with a weapon, and you decide to step forward, there's a lot on the line. And I think one of the things that I talk about is the heroic stance, right? You may or may not be a hero in the end, but you're approaching the situation from the perspective of, I'm willing to engage with this risk. And this is where sort of the more serious heroics comes in, right? Not what you're talking about as everyday heroism, but sort of this risk-based heroism. And it is a big choice. And one of the things that we've also found, there's a graduate student at Claremont Graduate University, Brian Riches, who talks about some research that he's done looking at prudence in heroes. And so one of the things that we've been finding from his work is that many heroes that do take physical risk are probably evaluating that risk rapidly. They're making a very quick decision to engage, but they do think that they can surmount the risk. At the same time, though, they are willing to accept the consequences. And I think that that transcendence of one's own life to put your life on the line is a huge statement about what kind of potential humans have to care for one another.
So then we come to the essential question, which is there a psychological profile of a hero, and can it be developed?
Sure. We don't know if there's a psychological profile yet. I think that's one of the questions that has been being started to be asked over the last decade or so as the sort of science around heroics has kind of gotten into fuller gear. We spent the last century really talking about the social psychology of evil without really thinking about sort of the flip side of the coin, and that's where we are now. So there's about a decade of research on this at this point in time. I think some of the pieces are, you know, what came up with what Rob talking about his brother Shannon, you know, the sort of grit, toughness, physical robustness. Some other pieces that may be genetically predetermined to a little, you know, to some degree, 20 or 30% perhaps, maybe things like risk-taking proclivity, right? So some people are less inclined to take a risk than others. But I think if a person is forced to really encounter a situation that is dangerous, at some point in time, even people that don't want to engage with risk will have to step up to the plate and often do. So is there a particular profile? No. We do think there are some predispositions for risk-taking, for sort of this robustness. Also probably some people are just more aware of situations, right? So if you're sitting there on your cell phone and you're not looking at the entire situation, you don't see a crisis unfolding, you're not able to respond effectively. Other people are kind of taking in the whole situation. That's something we call situational awareness.
But then in terms of heroism and in terms of developing or sponsoring it, what we just heard was a man talking about an entire family where that kind of sacrifice was encouraged and modeled. And that brings us back to the nature or nurture, which it sounds like we don't have an answer to which is more powerful, right?
In all of these things, I think it's always both, right? So if you look at some of the research on the genetics of risk-taking behavior, probably 20 to 30% of that is genetically controlled. There's a big study in Nature Neuroscience in 2005. I believe the author was Mary Jean Creek, a very famous researcher, and she found that about 20 to 30% of risk-taking behavior is probably genetically controlled. The other part is probably nurture, right? It's probably exactly those sort of familial things that Rob was talking about with his father and probably his grandparents passing down a set of ideals. And this is, for me, perhaps the most compelling piece, is it is what we teach, right? In combination with a child's sort of natural born qualities that is going to impart the sort of heroic perspective. And I think without that training, without imparting that ideal, it's difficult to have people kind of step over into that space.
So in the minute that we have left, Zeno, are there more heroes among humankind than villains?
It's always a struggle, right? It's always a struggle. And I think we are at a turning point in society. We've been dealing with the scourge of terrorism for the last decade. And we really have to think in our local communities, in our churches, in our mosques, in every part of our society, do we want villainy to win, or do we want to impart these ideals of heroic action and response to crises that effectively bring out the best in humanity? And I think that that is our goal over the next few years. That's what we as individuals must do.
That's Zeno Franco. He's an assistant professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He spoke to my colleague Celeste Headley.